Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's a Tuesday afternoon. Sedano and LZ and Cap. And Sedano will actually join us when he gets to his layover, because Sedano called in earlier today to Mason in Ireland to say that he knows exactly where the Tiger Woods accident happened, and he knows that street. He knows it well. He knows the area well. And I'm sure George will want to jump in, as the information that we've gotten, LZ, is that so far it kind of looks like good news. Like, Tiger Woods escaped a major, major, you know, could have been a lot worse is the way I should say it, because at least the way I look at it is broken legs and already being transported from the hospital where you had surgery to a hospital where you're going to rest. That sounds like good news to me, LZ.
It is, you know, definitely cautiously optimistic. As we know, you know, compound fractures aren't necessarily walks in the park. Alex Smith went through hell to get back to the football field this season, dealing with the multitude of infections that stemmed from his injury. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the physicians are on top of that, and Tiger is not, you know, inflicted with any infections or anything like that. We're still waiting to see, you know, how the back feels, you know, afterwards as he's rehabbing his legs. He was coming back from a fifth surgery. My understanding, you know, it wasn't as aggressive as the fusion that he experienced, I believe, in 2017. But he certainly has a long history of back injuries. And just the sheer jolt of being flipped around like that is going to make any healthy person with a good back really sore for a long period of time. I can speak from experience, having been in multiple car accidents myself, about how stiff your back feels after you're getting bumped around a little bit. So we just got to wait and see how he feels.
Yep.
Afterwards.
Yep. Let me bring Clinton Yates into this conversation from the Undefeated. Clinton is also of 710 ESPN, so glad to have him on the air with us this afternoon. Clinton, what's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm all right, man. I just want to say this off top. It's interesting that you mentioned all of the sort of injury stuff regarding Tiger and what's happening, because let me tell you guys a little story. I turned 40 in a month, and long before any of this stuff, long before anybody knew my name, long before I even knew or even cared about journalism, I was a 20-year-old working in D.C. I worked two jobs day and night. It was all I did. I partied with my friends, and one day I fell asleep at the wheel and I hit a wall, and I too was involved in a multi-rollover single car collision where the car ended up driver's side down. And if for the fact that I was wearing a seatbelt driver's side up, hanging from basically what was the steering wheel, I would have died. I punched my way out of that car, and when I looked at that car and I saw my news station today, they looked shockingly similar, and it was emotional. My dad called me, and he was like, "Are you okay? This reminds me of that." And I got to tell you guys, the first thing I thought about when I saw that was, I remember how lucky I was, and the news of the jaws of life is one thing, and so on and so forth. But I was 20 when that happened. I didn't get in another car, period, for 6 months. I didn't drive for another year. And that was when I was at the highest point of invincibility in my mind, in my life. We can talk about walking again. We can talk about whether or not he can reconstruct his swing again. I would not be stunned, just from speaking in my own kind of selfish personal experience, if maybe Tiger did not want to play golf or do anything for a really long time. Mm-hmm. That is a survival situation. And I remember all of the mental and psychological anguish I went through, because I did not feel like, you know, the survivor's guilt thing, especially when it's just you, it's a very, very tricky thing to manage. And I'm not trying to get into Tiger's head, but as somebody that walked away from a death-defying car crash that literally looks just like that, I don't know that golf is going to be on this guy's mind for a really, really long time. And I would not be upset about that if I were a fan, which I am, of him or in his family or in his camp.
You know, to your point, I've been in, as I said earlier, I've been in multiple car accidents. Yeah. The worst one, I was hit by a drunk driver who sped through an intersection and smashed right into the side of us. I was on my back for like 3 months, basically, not really doing much but trying to recover. And to this day, I'm a little bit more hesitant at intersections. Yeah. And that happened, and my son wasn't even born then. So we're talking more than 25 years ago. And to this day, I'm still just a little hesitant. I don't take off at intersections. I wait a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're absolutely right. There are lingering effects. I guess it's just ultimately just about what motivates him at this point and how he wants to spend his time at this point. Everything that we know, Clinton, about Tiger has been through the prism of golf. Even being a dad, it's about, you know, oh, look at him hugging his kid or playing with his kid on the golf course. So I don't know a great deal about what motivates him in his personal life outside of the prism of golf.
Yeah, and I think one of those layovers for me, and this is just me kind of speaking about this just to kind of talk about it, is that, like, I fell asleep. I was tired. Like, I remember the song that was on the radio when my car hit that wall, and I don't really drive at night anymore. And if I'm remotely tired, I am getting out of the car. I'll pull over and take a nap and call the person and say, I'm going, yo, I'm not doing it right now. You know what I'm saying? It's going to take me some time because I don't want to get close to the incident that almost took my life. And I just want – the only reason I repeat that, and I'm glad you – rather, thank you for explaining that part of the story in your life, LZ, is because the psychological anguish of walking away from a car crash in the United States of America, where we take cars so seriously, is very, very real. You know what I mean? And I just hope that we don't get put in a position where everybody is sort of pressuring, and even in our own sort of news media cycles, well, when's Tiger going to come back? When's his next tournament going to be? Like, bro, I ain't think about that, man. You know what I mean? I just hope that for him, you know, what he feels is his own ability to move himself around safely is something that he's okay with, because a single car crash like that, that will shake you, man. I know, because I've been there.
Clinton Yates on Sedano, LZ, and Cap here this afternoon on 710 ESPN. So I'm with you. You know, I'm not thinking like, hey, he's just going to get out of the hospital and they're going to put his legs back together and he's going to show up and win the Masters. Like, I'm not even thinking about any of that, in as much as, like, be able to walk, be able to be a father, be able to live a normal life. What you're talking about is not the physical, but the emotional and the PTSD, Clinton, that can take years. People who I know have been in car accidents are like, yeah, I'll never go skiing again. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, I got into a terrible car accident. I don't like the speed of skiing. You know, it freaks me out. You understand my point is that it can impact you long beyond just getting up and getting your body put back together.
I totally agree. And the reason why that's interesting to me, I would say, to sort of shift it back into the golf fan zone. And listen, I'm not a huge golf fan. I don't know, man. Tiger was one of those people that affected me kind of strangely as a sports fan. Before Tiger, I thought I liked golf. I knew who certain guys were. I understood the game. I could identify by eye a fair amount of courses on my television. After Tiger, I loved golf. Or rather, during Tiger, I loved golf. I never thought that Tiger going away from golf would mean that I would no longer like golf. Mm-hmm. But that kind of is what happened. And the reason right. I say that is because Tiger is a very important person to the history of golf in terms of who he's going to be, speaking on his own legacy. That documentary that came out that a lot of people talk about, well, he wasn't involved in that. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of different things about his story, from a real deal, you know, clubs and balls and holes and pins level, that I hope that Tiger sort of feels good about really sharing with us. And I this is kind of an aside to the accident, but I only think about that in terms of how those kinds of things force you to kind of reckon with who you are. But I remember seeing him with his son on the course, and I thought, man, I really would love to hear just Tiger looking back on his life as a golf person. You know, and what he's going to be able to share with us in this next phase of himself. And that's where I hope that whatever this accident has potentially put in his mind or not, I hope that maybe we get a part of Tiger that wants to share part of himself, because he did so much for that, but he was also very private, which is what made him so competitive in a very kind of serious way. But, like, man, like, I really hope that his legacy is something that we can still talk with him about, because he's going to have so much more to give us beyond just the fist pumps and the red shirts and everything else we've seen on Sundays from Tiger Woods.
Clinton Yates is here on Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Sedano is in transit. It sounds really glamorous, like he's got this assignment from the network that he's got to go cover an NBA game. But that's really literally what he's doing. And at his when he lands, he's going to check in, because Clinton, George does know this area, knows these streets, kind of has a perspective on the roadways that he was on. So George is going to definitely check in. LZ and I have been sitting here all day just talking about it, though, with the aftermath, because whether you're watching ESPN or CNN or any other channel, I mean, this is what the world has been talking about all day. you know, this is a Hollywood story, you know, superstar athlete, multimillionaire, going to visit other superstar athletes to shoot a commercial. And the whole world has zoned in on this story, man.
Yeah, and I think Shelley made an interesting point before about the Kobe element here. You know, it's from a news coverage and journalism standpoint, and I guess in this case a law enforcement standpoint, it is very real. You know, I think that there is a certain level. I was watching Bill Plaschke earlier today on Around the Horn, and he said his mind flashed back to that. You know, even though it's not the same thing, there is some level of similarity in terms of all the storylines you just mentioned, Cap. And I feel like there's a certain part of LA that is very, very anxious right now. And that is understandable. You know, it's not about speculating on what we think happened. It's not even about, you know, whether or not we're, I don't know, whether or not we care in that way. But I just feel that kind of energy when you know something big has happened with somebody that a lot of people are familiar with, or you're just kind of anxious. And that's, that's a very real feeling. So I appreciate the job everybody has done today in terms of talking about this and, I don't know, making folks feel more comfortable and more safe in your vehicles as you listen to the station.
Yeah, right. But on.
He's not a golfer. He is golf in a lot of ways. He drives the business. He drives the ratings. He drives the interest. He introduced the sport to an entire, you know, segment of the population that never gave it any mind. Dwayne Wade literally said on his post he picked up the golf club because of Tiger Woods. So even if Tiger isn't directly involved with someone getting an interest, they may get an interest in golf because of Dwayne Wade. And that is part of the Tiger Woods tree. Now, I've said several times, and people all know who listen to me, I'm not a golf fan. I'm not even necessarily a Tiger fan. But I can appreciate what he has accomplished. And I recognize who he is in the lexicon of like personalities globally.
Yeah.
And he's a really important figure.
No doubt. Hey, Clinton, you got a few more minutes, man?
Oh, yeah. Well, I do. But let me just say this more succinctly. I think for me at my age, LZ, I don't know anybody whose favorite golfer isn't Tiger Woods. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. Clinton, you got a couple more minutes to stick around?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, cool. Here's why. Clinton Yates is here. And I got to tell you, I thought I read your piece earlier today about the Cam Newton situation. LZ was off yesterday. I'd love to hear what LZ thought about that and how it played out on social media and the way people reacted to Cam or to the young man who was the centerpiece of it all. You wrote a really, what I thought was a very fresh perspective on this story today. Some people will agree, others will not, obviously, but this is what you do when you put out an opinion piece, right? I mean,
yeah.
And so I really want to get your perspective on this. Stick around. Clinton Yates is here. More to come. This is Sedano, LZ, and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano, LZ, and Cap here on a Tuesday afternoon. Crazy day because right here in L.A., Tiger Woods crashes his car and it turns into international news, needless to say. I mean, he's a monster superstar. You got all the elements of a Hollywood type of story. I mean, you got rich, you got ultra famous, and you've got what looked earlier in the day to be really, really bad. And I would say to everybody who's listening, LZ, Clinton Yates is here. George is about to jump on with us. I mean, again, Tiger Woods, very, very lucky to be alive today, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's exactly pretty much what the sheriff department said. And that's a testament to both the importance of wearing your seatbelt, but also the integrity of the vehicle he was driving in.
I agree. When the first thing I saw, I said, I wonder what car he was driving, because, you know, looking at that, you just think like if he survived that at all,
right?
You know, switching levels and considering the way that like it looked up, it appeared as if the front was impacted, like safe car, man, you know,
yeah. And that's it looked good like the engine was sitting right next to it.
Good for him.
Clinton, I didn't know what a Genesis was. I'm serious. Like, I'm not being a wise guy here. It's like they said, yeah, he was driving a Genesis. I said, there's a Chevy and there's a Ford. What is a Genesis? I didn't know.
The Genesis is the car that I would most associate with people who are in income brackets that I am never going to reach, and the cars they drive that I'm never going to be able to
pay. Oh, stop it. Reach for the stars.
Okay. You mean around the horn doesn't pay like that to buy a Genesis?
Yeah, that around the horn money is not getting me Genesis.
Well, it all depends on who's going around the horn, I guess.
Yeah. Excellent point, but no, I am familiar with those cars, and apparently they are very good ones.
All right, here is George Sedano to jump into this conversation, because George, before getting on a flight, actually called into Mason in Ireland to explain that he knows that area. Sedano, good evening, good afternoon. Where are you? Where do we find you?
Hey, guys, what's up? I'm in Minneapolis at the Delta Lounge right now, chatting with you guys and grabbing a snack as I jump on my connection to Indianapolis. That's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. So
I like the Delta Lounge. They have like the cheap free wine, and you can bump it up a notch to get the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Yeah, it's usually good also if they've got like a gym and a shower, you know?
I think this airport in Minneapolis is big enough. I don't think this particular lounge, because they have several of them, has the shower, but I know that there is one here that does, because this is a monster airport.
Yeah. Hey, George, give us some information, or at least, you know, kind of your perspective, because I heard you earlier today with Mason in Ireland before you got on the plane that you know these roads pretty well where Tiger had this accident. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I drive those roads each and every day. And when you drive on Hawthorne right there coming across the peninsula, like going over the hill, basically, those roads are treacherous, man. Like, if you don't know that terrain really well, it is really easy to get into an accident, because you can drive downhill at speeds easily at 70 plus, almost 80 miles an hour. And that's not even hitting the gas when you do that. So I think because of that, and the windiness of it occasionally, right? It certainly winds occasionally. I think that it's fairly easy to get yourself into an accident, even if like your phone goes off and you just glance at it. So, you know, you have to be really careful driving that particular stretch of road, whether it's the Hawthorne portion of it in Palos Verdes or even the Crenshaw portion of it.
The good thing is that obviously he's alive, but can you tell us at all, like, what it may be like driving at that time of day? Is it like an area that tends to get a little extra condensation? Does the sun come up in his way and reflect in the bed? Like, can you just maybe shed a little light in terms of the conditions he may have been driving in?
Well, I think it's been pretty dry in LA the last couple of days. I mean, granted, that area, because it's right off the Pacific Ocean, is a little more humid than most places around the city. But yeah, I think that at that time of the morning, you know, especially with most kids not going to school yet. I know Palos Verdes, the school district, just started doing kids, I think, in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. So there's not like a ton of school traffic at that time. Although in a normal world, there would absolutely be a ton of school traffic. And this probably wouldn't have happened in that situation, because he wouldn't have been driving at the speeds he probably had to hit to get into this particular accident. So, but yeah, I would say that from a weather condition standpoint, LZ, there really wasn't anything out of the ordinary today. If anything, the conditions were probably ideal to drive, because there was no slickness on the road.
Hmm. George Sedano is with us here on Sedano, LZ, and Cap on 710 ESPN. He's in a Delta lounge in the airport in Minneapolis on his way to Indianapolis to do an NBA basketball broadcast for ESPN. Clinton Yates is also with us this afternoon. Clinton, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I was just wondering, have you ever seen any accidents there in that road before? Like, is that someplace, George, that you've seen activity that you thought, huh, a little dangerous? I might want to consider what I'm doing next time when I'm in that particular part of town.
Clinton, all the time. There is tons of accidents in that area. There's a lot of people that get caught speeding. So the police are actually normally there setting up, you know, some sort of positioning to catch people, because there is the propensity, as I mentioned earlier, to go at high speeds, even if you're not hitting the gas. So you kind of have to hit the brake, or at least tap the brake as you're going down the hill in that particular area. So I've seen all sorts of stuff there. It's interesting, because he decided, you know, he came up Hawthorne because it goes completely across the peninsula. It's the one street that does that. Crenshaw doesn't do that. So, you know, if he was staying at Terranea, as was reported earlier, the resort there on Palos Verdes, that is the easiest way to get over. It's also a pretty wide street, man. Like, it is not like a small, hilly, you know, traditional hill-type road. Like, this is like a big thoroughfare that he was driving down, and with several lanes. So for him to have that kind of accident at that kind of speed, it just makes you wonder where was his focus at that particular point?
Yeah.
Now, have you gotten a ticket on that road?
I have not, LZ, because I am always aware of my surroundings in that regard when it comes to our friends, the local police officers. And I'm very careful when I drive in that neighborhood because I know that it is usually full of police officers that are looking to see if you are going above the speed limit. So I try my best to not go very fast down there. Now, Mrs. Sedano, she's got a lead foot. I've always told her to be careful when it comes to the roads in that area.
Mm. George Sedano on Sedano, LZ, and Cap here this afternoon on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is with us. You got Kaplan and LZ and George checking in from an airport in Minneapolis. You know, it's just hard to believe, guys, and everybody just jump in. But, I mean, it's hard to believe. Like, we're talking about Tiger Woods here. International superstar. I mean, greatest golfer of the generation and some might argue of all time. And cultural phenomenon. And we've just all been talking about this documentary. It's just from last year to where we are today. It just, the hits just keep on coming, fellas.
Quite a life lived, for sure. At this point, you know, this is like we've moved into the if you tried to make it up and put it in a movie, people might not believe it type of territory. You know what I'm saying? In terms of like who he actually is, which is why this is so fascinating and why I was making that point earlier. If nothing else, I hope that we still get to hear about Tiger's life from Tiger, you know, because there's so much still there that we have to learn from what his existence has been that I hope this doesn't shake him to the point that he's. I don't want to say further back into his shell because that's not fair to him, but like, man, he has so much more to share with the golf world, and I just can't wait to hear it.
All right. Hey, George, I know you got to hustle, man. Have a good, safe flight, and we'll catch up to you tomorrow, man.
All right, gentlemen. Be good. Be safe. Take care.
Bring some shrimp back from Elmo's.
Scramps.
Okay. Well, at the very least, I'll bring back the cocktail sauce. How about that?
Okay. I'll take what I can get.
All right, George. Thanks, man. Hey, Clinton, I wanted to talk to you about your piece today. Do you have a few more minutes?
Yes,
I'll ask you again.
I'm always down to hang around. Let's do
it. Yeah, because I really think it was interesting. It was a very, very interesting perspective.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, shout out to Keyshawn, by the way. It's Sedano, LZ, and Cap here on 710 ESPN. I was driving around this morning, LZ, and I heard Keyshawn, who had on Deion Sanders, primetime. And I'm a huge Deion Sanders fan. And I'll tell you, sometimes you hear something on the radio that just kind of gets to you. And I want to talk to you about this later. What Deion Sanders talked about this morning with Keyshawn was really, really amazing. And I want to get your opinion on it a little bit later on. But Clinton Yates is here. And I don't know if you had a chance to read Clinton's piece today, LZ. Did you get a chance to check that out?
Yeah, but I'd rather have Clinton talk about it.
Yeah, and me too. That's why. Hey, listen, Clinton. You know, this Cam Newton thing that happened a couple days ago, pretty natural for everybody to jump the kid, but that was not your perspective. Tell us.
So, basically, the first time I saw that video, and for those of you who don't know what it is, basically, Cam Newton is at one of his 7-on-7 camps, a thing he's been doing for many years since he was a pro, where he invites kids there, basically for what's the equivalent of a showcase event. To show off their skills. 7-on-7 is not padded football, so you're kind of in a more loose environment, and it's effectively a camp on some level. Part of it, and for anybody who's ever seen one or know anybody who's ever been to one or coached one, is that it is a different level of interaction at the Cam Newton camp. Everybody is John. It's encouraged. It's something that happened, something that, in my personal opinion, is part of the draw, just like a lot of sports camps are with VIP appearances, and part of the bonding mechanism of why a lot of these young men feel that they can be at their best vocally and mentally as competitors. Now, this particular incident on video got a little loose. The kid started cussing. He was calling Cam Newton words that a lot of people don't like. And anytime a child, specifically a black child, uses a cuss word, all of a sudden people start jumping out of the woodwork and telling them they've done something wrong. That's another story. My thing was very simple. Cam on this field, and not on the field in the context of gameplay, on the field in the context of the arena that we are in, he handled this. He talked to the kid after. The kid was like, yo, man, I'm not really trying to talk to you right now. You can watch on YouTube like everybody. And this notion that because he said something that wasn't completely obsequious or, in many people's minds, respectful, that he sort of deserves every single piece of ire from every corner of the world that he gets, to me, is just fundamentally flawed. That's not how I look at how we should be treating children in America or children at all. And there's a large portion of people, many of them parents, who believe that when it comes to errors that kids make, the biggest and most important thing is to establish what it is the punishment is going to be over everything else. And that, to me, gets to a level that I don't like, because it reminds me of how you feel when any mistake is made as a black child and people, forget your parents, are all chiming in on what it is it's going to be. Like I said, there are three ways you can treat kids when they make mistakes: punishment, pause, or protect. And I just felt like there were not enough people that were as willing to look at the protection options for who this kid was going to be as they were either pausing to stop and take a look at it or trying to punish him. And if a kid who's a high school football player has to release an apology statement to a superstar athlete in which he tags news outlets, we're all doing something wrong as the adults. And that I genuinely believe.
All right. Clinton Yates's opinion. LZ, I'm curious to hear what you think. You saw that video of that kid going back and forth with Cam Newton. Is that all just part of being at the Cam Newton camp and it's totally cool and it's fine? I mean, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I just got a text from Jesse Washington, who would like to join after this segment, because I guess you, Clinton, you and Jesse are sitting on opposite ends of this.
I have no idea. I wrote the story, but I don't know what Jesse thinks outside of what I'm thinking. My point is that, like, I think there's a large element of black folks who think that because this is how this has always been done in terms of what that power balance is between parents and children, that this is what makes the most sense for A, survival, and B, sensibility. And I just fundamentally don't always agree with that. And I'm not saying this kid's parents or anybody else did anything wrong. I don't think so at all. I just feel like, again, if a high school athlete is finding himself in a position to publicly apologize for talking trash to a football player on a football field at a camp, like, yo, nah, man, that's not cool. That's not what this is about. The fun part about being a kid is making fun of adults. The cool part about being an adult is that you're grown and secure enough to brush it off, because that's what kids do. That's right.
I would tell you that I would have been mortified if my son had done that.
Amen. Absolutely. To that, brother. Amen.
Absolutely.
I would have been, if my son had disrespected an adult like that. Like, I hear what you're saying in terms of football field, basketball court, tennis court. Believe it or not, I talk smack on tennis court too. Like, I totally get it, but there's something about seeing a child disrespect an adult who is an authority in something that that child is trying to learn about that just gets me the wrong way. Now, I don't think that everyone and their mama, to your point, needs to like chime in or whatever. But I do think that that kid asked for it, and he got
it. That's tough for me, LZ, because that draws a line to something that I just don't love. And you have to understand something as well. Like, I look, this is going to come to no surprise to a lot of people. I was a very loud mouth kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, it got me to a lot of places. It got me out a lot of places. It got me, arguably, to this microphone right now. The first column I ever wrote for the Washington Post, literally, was about the fact that, I remember at the time, the D.C. government was trying to put in some sort of legislation where if you got caught fighting on a train, then all of a sudden you were going to get suspended from school. And I was like, yo, that's unfair, because your boy used to fight on the train every daggone day, because that's just kind of how life was. And that's not a direct one-for-one comparison. But right. My point is that, like, yeah, a lot of kids are loud. A lot of kids are kind of rambunctious. Only, it seems like, for certain of us, does that become qualified as an instant problem. You know what I'm saying? It's not personality, it's an issue. And that's where I think this view that we have, particularly of black children, is just so hypercritical, where it's like, all right, man, he's getting in it with Cam. Like, it might have embarrassed you as a parent. I get that. But in the larger sense, I'm telling you, LZ, that made me laugh. No, and because I'm some, raw Clinton, dog person. It wasn't that serious to me.
But
it really
Clinton,
wasn't.
It's not, I would not embarrassed as a parent, mortified that I did something wrong. Because that means I've raised a child that thinks that is okay. That's what I'm talking about. Like, not embarrassing. Like, embarrassing is kind of a surface emotion to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have been rewinding every single parental moment I've had with my son, asking myself, where did I go wrong where my son would have thought that would have been okay.
Right, you're right. And just hold it for 1 second right there, because listen, Clinton, stick around. LZ, Jesse, want to jump in? Clinton, you cool with that?
I've been here for a while, guys. I got to eat dinner, but let's do it. Let's make it quick.
Yeah, Jesse wants to jump in on this. Okay, so Jesse will be here. Jesse Washington will jump in. Clinton Yates is here. We all do not agree about this situation. So let's get Jesse on. Let's keep Clinton from eating dinner. LZ and I are going to hang out. And here comes Kiki with traffic. So everybody stick around. It's Sedano, LZ, and Cap on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
What's going on tonight, everybody? It's Sedano, LZ, and Cap here on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is with us. And if you're just getting here, Clinton wrote a piece today on The Undefeated about the Cam Newton situation. And me and LZ are both like, if that was my kid, I would be absolutely mortified and wondered, what did I do as a parent that my kid didn't know that guy right there, Cam Newton, was an MVP? That guy has lived a charmed football life. And my 17-year-old kid just, as far as I'm concerned, embarrassed us by just, why are you talking that way to that guy? Why are you disrespecting him? Clinton had a whole different perspective. And Jesse Washington wants to come on because he's coming at you pretty hard right now, Clinton, on Twitter. Jesse, jump into this conversation. Welcome back, man.
Yeah, real quick, Jesse, before you start, Cam doesn't live a charmed football life. He busted his ass to earn that life.
And that's
the reason why it was so disrespectful. It wasn't something that bestowed upon him. It was something that he worked hard and earned and was trying to impart some wisdom.
There you go.
Indeed. Well, I appreciate y'all's time, and I appreciate my brother Clinton for engaging with me on this on Twitter and now here on these radio streets. And my man Clinton is a respected and valued colleague, and that's why I feel comfortable saying, bro, you out of pocket on this one, my man. Like, I can't understand how you would minimize and say it's basically okay for this kid to do what he did. And
I'll tell you what.
I'm sort of at a loss for words. I'm sort of at a loss
okay,
for
well,
words.
I have the words.
Let's quote from the words. You said it was, quote, a kid goofing around with his friends. Quote, it's not that serious, end quote. You basically said that it's, quote, something to be taken positively. And that's really where I'm starting to, I don't understand. Please enlighten me.
What do you go to play basketball for when you would go to courts where you met new people and you were trying to show off your skills?
Competition.
What else did you go for? Camaraderie?
Beating people.
What else did you go for? Learning?
W's.
Okay, well, that's you. Yeah. I went because I
talk.
The reason.
And
hold
there
on.
Was trash talk in competition.
The reason I like sports was because I liked mixing it up like that. That's a personal opinion. Also, it was a large part of I thought what the bonding experience was. The people who taught me how to cuss were the people in my family. This wasn't far away. That basic notion, I think, of where y'all define disrespect is just different for me, and that's fine. I respect that. I'm just saying that, like, as a grown man, if a kid talks to me like that, I'm not thinking twice about it. You know what I mean? It's not that harmful to me to hear that from a kid, because I know where I came from. And that's where I think that we can differ on this. And it's not about insulting anybody else's styles. It's just about the fact that, like, when I hear him say you're a free agent, I laughed. That's an A-plus trash talk line. And it's not about the fact that he's disrespecting him. It's part of where they are in that surface. Being at the camp means you get the Cam Newton leadership experience. It doesn't mean that you have to be at attention at every single word he says, because that's not how they interact in those scenarios anyway, specifically at that camp. And in general, that's not what I thought I was looking at. It was not a confrontation in the same way that so many folks outside of our community claim they see confrontations. That second video was the most instructive to all of this, in my opinion. He was like, yo, man, I'm not really trying to talk to you right now. Like, he was clearly uncomfortable, and Cam was like, you wanted this, and he kind of put him on the spot, which is fine. That, to me, was the part of the learning experience that was the most instructive out of all this. So when Mans came through, the other coach, and Cam was like, yo, we squashed it, it's cool, I was just trying to talk, they're both learning in real time right there. And that's not something that I think is by default a problem, which is why, to me, putting this kid in public to apologize was a step too far. You, of course, apologize to Cam privately. Hold on. Stop it. That's fine to me. That's the difference between being an adult and a child. That's what protection means. That's what the point I was making in the column. What I'm saying is that you can talk to Cam's side on the side without putting that kid in a farther position. I did not think that was a necessary step. And I'm not saying his parents made the wrong decision. I just feel like that, to me, I felt so bad for that kid at that part, man. If you're going to admit that the kid made a mistake, why you got to go through that?
Jesse, jump in here, man.
To be the highest thing. That's not making sense to me. That shows that you're trying to prove a power balance. That's not necessary.
Wait, Jesse, jump in here, man. Jesse, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what admitting a mistake is about, is owning up in front of everybody. First of all, he's the one, him and his crew is the one who put it out there publicly. You know, and that comes with consequences. And kids have to learn consequences. And kids have to, and yes, we protect them in the way that we correct them. He shouldn't be vilified. He shouldn't be attacked. He shouldn't be threatened with violence. He should be lovingly embraced and corrected and say, young fellow, this ain't it. There's a lot of great NFL players who are like, young man, this ain't it. This ain't it. Let's learn from this. Let's move on. But, you know, to say that it's okay, you know, and defending his right to do this or his agency as a human to go on and just come at, I've been in many trash talk situations on those same playgrounds that you mentioned all the time. Nobody would ever come at me like that, because everybody knows there's a line that you don't cross. And aside from that, we're competing. The trash talk comes in an effort to contest our skills against one another, not to just yap off at the mouth at somebody and cuss at them for no reason, who's accomplished, who's gotten where you want to go. And so we are incumbent upon us who care about black youth, who want to protect them, to teach them, hey, man, like, come on, bro, we can do better than that. You know, no, you made a mistake and you can bounce back from that. We all make mistakes. And when I make mistakes as a grown man, I apologize publicly if necessary. I thought the apology was a great thing. I thought it showed the character of the kid and his parents.
Jesse, when you make mistakes as a grown man, he's not a grown man. That's the whole point. You don't have to do that in public.
But Clinton, as I was saying earlier, they're not peers.
They're not peers.
He's talking to an adult. And would you have been okay if that was a teacher? Would that have been okay if that was a coach at his high school? Would that have been okay? Like, there,
it wasn't,
there
are, though.
There, but he's an adult, and he's at his camp, and he is disrespecting the person who is heading this conversation. And I, as I told you earlier, I don't believe he should have been vilified like that. But the young man needed to be checked, because that isn't just youthful indiscretion to me. That's just poor guidance in some ways. Like, and I'm not saying his parents did a bad job, his own guidance, like his own rationale led him the wrong way, and I'm glad his parents helped get him back on the path that he needs to be on.
Just a fundamental point of disagreement on what the concept and the value of disrespect is. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? I just did not consider that in the context of everything we know about how Cam operates his camps and who Cam is on a certain level. I just didn't see it that way. You know, and I respect what you
Cam,
guys are saying.
Cam if to is
you,
a black it was fundamentally, human being. He's a black man. Why are you going to pop up and attack a black man just and
I don't
why
consider
you just
it an attack.
Attack a black
that's
man
what I'm saying.
Falsely.
It's not, you know, an attack. Like, this is the hyper criticism of what black children communicate that I'm talking about. That wasn't an attack to me. It was not that harsh. That's all I'm saying. That's my personal opinion on that. And I get that people don't feel that way, but that's where I'm coming from. Like, to me, that is garden variety trash talk. That's just me.
Yeah, the thing
from D.C., from the 80s and 90s. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm from the same 80s and 90s in Brooklyn, New York all day. And
you're
it's
older
just
than
like
I am, sir.
The idea that, absolutely, but not by much. And, you know, the thing that really sort of bothered me was when you were saying that you sort of framed it as, oh, we're trying to, you know, like we're letting white people define this situation.
I didn't and, say that. You know, I didn't we're, use the word and white use the word in the whole column. Once.
Oh, no, you did. Well, you know, it was certainly implied, and that's what you know, and you were talking about how America sees our children and treats our children, you know, and to use the word respectability. And the word respectability means, you know, the definition of that respectability politics is for us to do something that we shouldn't do in order to appease white people. That's what respectability means in this context. But what we're talking about has nothing to do with appeasing white people. This is about self-respect. And, you know, black culture has a strong reverence for respect for our elders. That is a fundamental aspect of black life in America. We revere our elders because we know what they had to go to give us the opportunity. You know, and I don't know what positions this young man played, but Cam Newton had to deal with a lot just to help. Okay, so he's not a QB. But, you know, Cam Newton went through some things in order for us to have the current black QB renaissance that we have right now. So, you know, I'm not going to cuss on the ESPN airways and repeat what the man said. But to come at them that way, you know, I don't want to kill the kid. I just want him to learn from it. And he can't learn from it if we say it's, quote, not that serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that overall, to me, the concept of how we treat children and the established notion that everything is about respecting the elders, that's not a binary. That's not zero sum. And in a situation with a kid like this or any real kid in a scenario in which they step out of pocket, I like to believe that my first instinct is to protect privately and publicly so they can learn that lesson of punishment privately because too many other people will do it publicly. That's where I'm coming from. And in this situation, it fit the bill exactly.
Well, the thing that I like about this... The thing that I like about this conversation is that at the height of it, it just once again reiterates that African-Americans, black Americans, we're not a monolithic group.
Yep. Yep.
And with that comes a variety of perspectives on the exact same thing. And it's beautiful to flesh that thing out. I'm leaning more on the Jesse side of this, Clinton, but I understand where you're coming from as well. I certainly do. It's just, as I said, my instant gut reaction when I saw the video was imagining my son disrespecting an adult like that.
Same.
And just being gutted and just wondering, you know, instantly, if that had happened to me, asking myself, what did I do wrong as a parent?
Because I'm with you on that, LZ.
That's fair. You know, I appreciate you guys.
I don't think you did anything wrong as a parent.
I appreciate you guys for also hearing me out on this because part of the reason, quite frankly, why in the current state of what America is that I have made a conscious decision at this stage of my life not to have kids is because I know that the only way at least I would be equipped to parent in is a way that I know that did not work for me. You know what I'm saying? And there's a large part of that I still think about, you know what I'm saying, in terms of what I passed down, in terms of the notion that there's a real slippery slope between, well, this kid embarrassed me. No, pardon me. I don't want you to keep using that term in shorthand because you guys have been very eloquent about that. But if you would have been mortified to, I'd have popped that kid in the mouth in front of everybody. And that's not what y'all said. I get that. But there's such a close line to that, that for me is like, yo, no, we have to be moving the exact opposite direction away from that in order for me to believe that we're really understanding what it takes to protect. And I think that's what I'm trying to say alongside of where you guys are and not, in my opinion, sort of moving in a perpendicular manner.
All right. Hey, Clinton, it's great to have you on. And I know we took up an hour, but, dude, we talked about a lot of stuff. So thank you. Hey, Jesse, thanks so much for being willing to jump into this conversation and really appreciate your perspective on it. So with that, unfortunately, we got to hustle here, fellas. So, by the way, LZ, I'm going to tell you something. When we come back, I got to comment on what you just said about how white America, by the way, because I'm the white guy in the room now, how we might think that everybody who's black just has the same opinion about everything. That was really, really interesting to listen to you three guys disagree.
I didn't say that at all.
No, but the way you
I said that we're not a monolithic group.
Well, come on. What I'm saying to you is that it's very interesting for me to listen to a variety of opinions from three very smart black guys. And I think it was really, really interesting for everybody else to listen to. So thank you for that, fellas. How about that?
No doubt, guys.
All right.
No doubt.
Sounds all
right, very good. All right, right back at you.
See you soon, fam.
All right. Wow. All right, LZ. All right, man. That was great. That was really interesting. All right, stick around, everybody. More to come. On the way, what's going on with the Dodgers as spring training is just opening? Jorge Castillo from the LA Times will fill us in on what's going on day one. Stick around. It's Sedano, LZ, and Cap here on 710 ESPN.